I wanted to talk to us, the group here this morning, about benefits we have in relationships. And the passage that was just read for us talks about some relationships that we have by virtue of Jesus Christ, if you noticed as that was being read in Galatians. Let's look at that briefly. I won't reread it, but I want to underscore a few things that are mentioned there. You see that God sent His Son. There was the birth. There was the term adoption as sons. There's, again, in the last verse, talking about sons and then being an heir of God. These are all important to us as Christians. Vitally important in the sense that without these relationships, we have no hope of eternal life. And if we're not in that relationship, we're not an heir, and we will not have what heirs have, which is an inheritance. So relationships are important, right? So let's think about that. Let's see if I can get this working correctly here. Let me get wired up here. Okay. All right, I think I'm on here. So we have many relationships in our life, and this diagram kind of gives you the idea. I didn't label it because it can mean something different to you than it means to the person next to you. But just say, for instance, let's say that's you up there. You're a lady, and you have a relationship to these folks here. There's another lady here. Maybe that's your parents. Maybe this is your grandparents. Maybe there's a guy over here, and this is his parents. Maybe they're brother and sister, and I didn't have a link to that, but it could mean something else to you. But we have lots of relationships, and we're interconnected in a lot of different ways. We have lots of types of relationships in our daily lives. Those that are by birth, okay? Those that are by adoption, some folks are adopted, which is wonderful. Then we have marriage, you know. We have the things that we have from our birth, but then again, we want more relationships, so we work to get married, right? There's some work that goes into that. And then we get this whole other set of relationships with our in-laws and people that we are now connected with via marriage. We have social relationships. Take, for instance, this congregation. We have neighbors, all right? And we have people at school. We have people at work. All of these are types of relationships that we have that, you know, some we have come to by no choice of our own. We didn't have any choice who our parents were. Right? We didn't have a choice that our parents adopted, if you were adopted. Marriage, on the other hand, was a choice. And so was the choice of moving to that neighborhood. You chose to go there, right? So you got the neighbors you got, and then over time those neighbors may have changed some. So there's that one's kind of a hybrid. All right, and there's benefits to all of these relationships, and we understand that some relationships have more of a benefit to us than others. Some have very little benefit to us. One of the types that we have, a relationship that we have, requires some diligence. I mentioned we had to work to find that person that we wanted to marry. I had to work real hard to get Lori. Chased her for a long time. So there are benefits. So what I wanted to do in the time we have today is talk about the benefits of a few key relationships. All right. Let's look at our parents. We said in our relationship to our parents, we had no choice. We got what we got, right? But they help us in many, many ways. And if you're a young person, I hope you'll agree. They're not always trying to get you, right? They feed us. When we can't feed ourselves, when we're babies, you know, they feed us. They keep us warm, clean, healthy. They educate us, especially homeschool, right? Your parents are educating you. They provide an example for us, good or bad, right? So we learn a lot from our parents. The relationship we have with our parents means so much. So much to us, right? So what does that lead to? Many times they teach us about God, but we desire to be with them. Just got back from visiting my mom. Really enjoyed it. For some of us, we can't visit our parents or all of our parents now. But the desire to be with them still is there. And it's there because we recognize this benefit, right? It's an extreme benefit for us. What about grandparents? Again, we had no choice who our grandparents were, right? And hopefully everybody had great grandparents like I had. I didn't know so much my father's grandparents. My grandmother on my dad's side passed in 1969, but I remember her. And then my grandfather, dad's dad, Lori actually got to meet him, but he is well up in his age at that point. We didn't get to spend much time with him, but mother's parents, we did. Got to see them every Sunday and days in between. And they were awesome. Awesome. And those of you who have relationships with your grandparents, you may understand what I'm talking about. They're just awesome. I love this picture here of this man and this little grandson here. What is he doing there? He's having fun with that little grandson. And that grandson's getting spoiled. Okay? So that's what they do. Alright? They tend to spoil us. I like what's written under this picture. Surely two of the most satisfying experiences in life must be those of being a grandchild or a grandparent. Grandparents would give us or help us with anything. I remember my grandfather in his 70s coming over to my house, bringing a chainsaw, shinnying up the tree with a rope tied to the chainsaw in his 70s now. And he goes up there and he's topping the tree. Because he was afraid, you know, wind might come and break it and fall on my house, maybe hurt one of my kids, you know, that crashed through the tree or something, or through the window. And he would come over and help me with various things around the house. Grandmothers help do lots of different things, too. Lori, you'll have to ask her about her Nana. But we love them. And in a sense, when we're young, we don't really understand this, but we would love to have kept them forever and ever and ever. We have this mythical idea that our grandparents would be there with us forever when we're little, and that's not the case. But we would desire to be with them. Love to have them back. So we learn early that there are benefits from our relationships. Parents and grandparents can provide many benefits, and we have access to things through these relationships. How many times have you heard someone say, well, you know, they got that because their dad, fill in the blank. Or they got that because, you know, her grandfather was this, and it was that access that gave them what they needed. Maybe it was a job. Maybe they got their first car. Well, their granddad's rich, and he just said, okay, here's your car. There's things that happen like that, and so there's benefits. However, our relationship with God is quite different, and that's what I wanted to get across to us today, and I hope you'll remember when we walk out the door what we say here about the relationship with God. Okay? So let's look at this other key relationship we have. Relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I've marked this as a choice. And I marked that because we can decide we don't want to follow the Lord. Right? And unfortunately, people in the world have made that decision. There have been many people that decide, you know, I don't even believe there's a God. Does that make it true? There is a God, and He has expectations for us. Okay, but our Heavenly Father, there's benefits for this relationship. Our Heavenly Father loves us. Look at 1 John 3 in the first part of verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. Remember the passage Greg read for us, where we talked about sons of God being heirs, children of God, a choice. Let's not forget that. It's a choice to be a child of God. Our Heavenly Father loves us and He cares for us. He blesses us. He has mercy on us. He extends His grace to us. He desires our relationship with Him. He wants your acknowledgement. He wants the intimate relationship with you and me. That's His desire. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us chasing other gods. The Bible is replete with that, especially throughout the Old Testament. We are studying in Revelation in the auditorium class about the different churches and the things that they had been troubled with, and various groups following different doctrines, gods that the Roman people followed, pagans. God is jealous. He wants our relationship with Him. He provides hope of eternal life. Is that significant to you? Is hope of eternal life significant to you? What does that mean? I can't measure that. You know, our life here, we measure in terms of years, days. This cannot be measured. The value of that cannot be understood. He has prepared heaven for us. How much love does it take for a God to prepare a place for you to live eternally? Great provisions that the Lord has made for us. He can save us from hell. What does that mean to you? That He would save you from eternal punishment. Does that mean something to you? It means a lot. And, you know, some people focus on, I want to avoid hell, I want to avoid hell. A lot of times we need to focus more on getting to heaven than avoiding hell, but when you do one, you do the other. So it's a benefit. It's a huge benefit to know that I'm going to have eternal life in heaven and I'm going to avoid eternal punishment in hell. So based on that, based on all of these things, and this is not all inclusive. You can come up with other benefits. You can't really see it very well. But that last bullet says that we desire to be with Him because of this relationship. Our desire ought to be that we want to be with our Heavenly Father. And I hope you do. And that's the question that I want everybody to ask of themselves today. What is your desire? Do you desire to be with your Heavenly Father? You think about it. I mean, you're not going to think about it every day and all every hour of the day, but is that a driving force in your life? Think about it. What we love, we migrate to, right? We have passion about. Now, I'll tell you, the idea for this lesson came as I was studying for the class this morning, and where it talks in there about the church losing the first love and their desire, their zeal. And this idea for this lesson came from that because, you know, a lot of times second generation Christians just don't have the zeal as someone who freshly came to God by a contact with another Christian. That's not to say they don't, but sometimes that happens. Okay, and that's what I'm talking about here is that relationship. Do you have that relationship with the Heavenly Father? That's your own relationship. Okay? So we see here that a direct relationship is required. We must develop our own relationship with the Lord. We must know Him. We have to know the Lord. And I'll give you an example of that. Let's look at Acts 19 real quick. If you know much about the book of Acts, you might recognize this. This is a story in verses 11 through 16. We won't read all of it, but we'll read this part where it pertains to the sons of Sceva. Sceva was a Jewish high priest, so naturally the sons are Jews. But look at what happens. In this particular instance, they're not calling on their own ability to use and influence God. They're trying to use a relationship with Paul. You know, because they knew Paul was doing something, they're going Paul to Jesus for this effort here. Take a look at what's said here. In verse 11, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So this has gotten out. The word's gotten out. You know, Jesus, you know, if you say something by Jesus' name, then you can cast out demons. So they say, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaimed. Seven sons of Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. But who are you? And the man in whom the spirit leaped on them mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That was one whipping. I mean, he took them all on. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Had they known Jesus, they would have been able to do this. But they didn't know him. They were trying to ride the coattails of Paul. We cannot ride the coattails of anyone to heaven. It has to be our relationship. Does that make sense, everybody? Can you imagine standing before the Almighty God and saying, I hope you'll let me in, Lord, because my parent or parents or Christian. It didn't work that way. Or my friends are Christians. Or I'm really a good person, generally. I'm good. I don't want to do all this other stuff. We have to establish our relationship. Let's turn over to Philippians 3. And I want you to see how Paul recognized that he had to have this relationship. Remember, Paul was a good person. He believed he was a good person before he actually met the Lord on the road to Damascus, right? He believed that he was a good person. He said he lived in all good conscience before the Lord. In Philippians 3, and I want you to, as we read this, think about his relationship as he describes it. The relationships that he had in that day, maybe you thought he really could get somewhere because of who he was. Look at what he says here. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Okay, so he's talking about his ability, his access. Okay? It's kind of like that, well, you know, that father got that kid the job, or, you know, this is kind of the same terminology. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss. Listen to what he says here. Because of the surpassing worth of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He recognized that he had to know Jesus. On the road at Damascus, did he know Jesus? He knew him after that, didn't he? And he knew that his relationship with Jesus was not what it needed to be. And for a few days, he had some soul searching that he had to do. Let's read on. For this sake I suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. This is the establishment of that relationship. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes from through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Watch this, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Was the relationship to Jesus important to Paul? You better believe it. These words tell us it was the utmost importance to him, so that he might have, as in the last verse there, the resurrection from the dead. He knew he wanted that. Do you want it? Do you want it enough to have your own relationship with Jesus? Not because your parents were or your grandparents were, but because you want the relationship with the Lord. Do you have a singular relationship with the Lord? So how is your relationship with God? Test yourself. Look inside yourself. Is your relationship with him as close as with an earthly parent? Do you long to be with the Lord as you long to be with a parent? You know, we call our parents. Some of us call more than others. You know, and that's not what I'm talking about. Do you have consistent, meaningful communication with your parents? Do you have that same kind of communication with the one that means the most to you when it's all said and done? I hope the answer is yes. In terms of communicating with our Heavenly Father through prayer, is that a helpful, healthy relationship supported by that kind of communication? Now, similarly, as we have with our parents and grandparents, do you have that desire to be with them, to be with God, to be with Jesus in heaven? Our longing should be that we have that heavenly home. This is what I'll leave with you. This saying, you hear it every so often, God has no grandchildren, only children. The passages we've read today bear that out. There's no reference anywhere that God has grandchildren. It's only children. Think about that. It's only children. It's a direct relationship because of our choice to say, I want to be a follower of him. And that's what I want to share with you today. And I hope these things, you'll think about these things, that you'll be edified by them, and that we'll resolve to increase our communication with the Lord and establish that firm relationship with him. If you're in need of obeying the gospel or coming back to the Lord, now's the time to do that as we stand and sing.